now, the American adventure. The people and events shaping our lives and our times now. This week, women's liberation, the unfinished revolution of American women, with ABC News correspondent Marlene Sanders.
50 years ago, women got the vote. It was a bitter struggle, but an easy goal to explain. Today, the things women want are more complex. Those involved in what has come to be known as the Women's Liberation Movement do not necessarily agree on all of the objectives. But there is a serious questioning of the role of women in our society. And the rhetoric of the Civil Rights Movement has been contagious. The word equality is powerful. In big cities, as well as on hundreds of college campuses, groups of women have joined the movement. Their numbers are increasing. Here in Chapel Hill at the University of North Carolina, a group called Women's Liberation No. 27 issued demands to the university. They want the elimination of the quota system in the admittance of women. They demand daycare centers for the children of faculty, staff, and students. They also attempted to communicate to their fellow students what the Women's Liberation Movement is all about.
Where are you going, my little one, little one? Where are you going, my baby, my own?
Room, room, keep your dress down, dear.
Why can't I wear pants when I play, Mommy?
Because little boys wear pants, little girls wear dresses and keep their skirts down.
But you wear pants sometimes, Mommy.
That's different, because I'm married. If you're going to talk back to me like that, I'll tell your father when he gets home. Where's the nice doll we gave you for Christmas?
I don't know, Mommy. And anyway, it's more fun to play with Jimmy's toys.
Give me that. I'll give Jimmy back his toy. You go in the house and get your doll and play house. Don't you want to be a mommy when you grow up?
I don't know, Mommy. Anyway, do I have a choice?
My dear, all normal women want children.
Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Better be dead than not wed.
I came here to see about universities that have good medical schools. I want to become a doctor.
Are you sure you want to become a doctor?
Oh, yes. I want to help all those people. And besides, I have very good grades. I have all A's.
Have you considered nursing? All those years of medical school will interfere with your role as a wife and mother.
Little Miss Liza went to her advisor for counsel on what she should do. Don't place your hopes high, for marriage is nigh. Your husband and children will need you. Better be dead than not wed. Jack and Jill went up to school and Jill had better grades. Now Jack's in the position of executive rule and Jill's his secretary slave.
What are your qualifications, young lady?
Well, I have a master's degree.
Can you type?
But I have a PhD.
Can you take shorthand?
But I'm Phi Beta Kappa.
How can you make a good cup of coffee?
Master's degree, PhD, Phi Beta Kappa Chi. Can any woman get a job? Poor boy, will she go? But can she?
It was a good show. I think it points out, maybe in a comical fashion, the real issues behind this movement, and the issues are very real. They correlate somewhat to the Black Revolution and the Youth Revolution.
I think I'm just a regular prejudiced male, though, in some respects, because I think if a woman really wants to be free, she may be.
Some men view the Women's Liberation Movement with scorn or amusement. The rhetoric is sometimes strident, and men often feel threatened by it. But these members of a group at the University of North Carolina and nearby Duke are married. Several have children. They're militant, but Linda Fisher told me she thinks there's something in the movement for men.
The very first thing is that men will no longer have to be solely responsible for the financial help of their family. They don't have to get ulcers and other things because they're the only wage earner. If a woman follows her desires throughout her life, and if that desire happens to be to work, to have a career, or simply to work at a job that she enjoys, then any given man that she's married to does not have to feel the sole responsibility for taking care of her then and later on, say if the marriage breaks up, as under the law now, he is responsible. The other things that he has to gain have to do with emotional needs. A lot of men have said, I wish I could cry, but they're long past learning how, because they've spent so long believing that it's inappropriate.
On the campus of Duke University, women are learning to discard something they have long felt inappropriate for them, their role as victims. Weak, vulnerable. One of the offshoots of the women's liberation movement has been the growth of self-defense classes. Students and local residents hired an expert to teach them how to overcome their physical limitations. The classes have an ideological basis, according to Duke student Mary Thad Ridge.
Well, I think that if women are going to want to really take the position in the world that belongs to them, one of the most important things is mobility. It means being able to go where you want to go, you know, when you want to go, without the protection of a man. And I think that this means that women should be able to, you know, walk on the streets at night with the same facility that men are able. Now, not only does this mean self-defense for women, certainly it means better lighted streets and police protecting people instead of property, but I think that one of the most important things is a woman's confidence.
These young women are finding their confidence in themselves enhanced by such classes. They believe that the helpless, dependent woman of the past no longer has validity in the world today. Marches, sit-ins, confrontations, all are part of protest in America today. One of the unifying issues of the movement has been the goal of repeal of abortion laws throughout the nation. Failing that, their reform. The issue has cut across differences between radical groups and others, like NOW, the National Organization for Women, reformist in nature, working within the system, to others, like WICH, a colorful offbeat action group. This demand has been increasingly successful, with 13 states, including New York, having liberalized their laws in the last 3 years. Attorney Nancy Stearns sees more victories ahead.
We've learned an awful lot from the black movement and what it's done in the last 10 years. We know that we've got to use every forum. Okay, so we've been trying with the legislature and we've been failing, but even they've heard us now. You know, they just can't ignore the fact that we're all here. And we're trying the courts, and damn it, you know, we're in the streets. It's obvious we're in the streets. And with the three different things, and Lord knows what all else we'll have to try, this year we're going to win, whether it's in the courts or the legislatures. And as I said before, it's not only going to be New York, it's going to be every state. Much to our surprise, we've already begun winning. And you should know that courts in Wisconsin, in California, and in the District of Columbia have already said their laws are unconstitutional. They've said what we're saying, that women have a fundamental right to control their own bodies and to control their own lives.
Folk singer Mary Sanders Charnel.
Are the luckiest the fortune of all womankind? They're always controlled. Of their lives. story was sad. She'd always been courted by the Wagoner lad. He courted her truly by night and by day. Now his wagons are loaded, he's a-pulling.
The abortion law repeal movement aims to give women control over their bodies. Another goal of the movement is for women to be better represented in the mass media by the magazines, advertisers, and televisors who influence both men and women about a woman's role. Earlier this year, a coalition of liberation groups invaded the offices of John Mack Carter, editor of the Ladies' Home Journal.
We demand that the Ladies' Home Journal hire a woman editor-in-chief who's in touch with real women's real problems and needs. We demand that the magazine use women writers exclusively for all columns.
We demand that all sales and advertising personnel be women.
I think it'd be ridiculous to have only women working for Ladies' Home Journal. That's not the only qualification required of an editor on this magazine.
We demand that the magazine cease to further the exploitation of women by publishing advertisements that degrade women and by publishing ads from companies that exploit women in terms of salary and job discrimination.
I don't know. How do you determine that?
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy.
Yes. Here's one.
It's called the quote, "Congratulations, dear, but exactly what does an assistant vice president do?" Pudding.
Oh, dear.
Yes. It's an advertisement for Jell-O pudding tarts. And it shows that even a dumb woman who doesn't know what an assistant vice president does can make Jell-O pudding tarts.
Yes!
Yes, sorry, dear, I cracked up your car pudding. Remember?
Keep your face on longer.
Yeah. You're made of face.
What's wrong with that one?
Oh, goodness.
What's wrong with
that? What's this adulation for you? What's wrong with your natural face? You put on gulk and makeup and lipstick and eyeshadow and you walk out and you feel like you're coming out of some movie set. And there isn't the glamour to accommodate it.
Made for a woman's extra feelings. Secret deodorant.
Through advertising and entertainment, women are frequently portrayed as sex objects. Many members of Women's Lib feel exploited by men, and they startled Wall Street one day by an exhibition in which roles were reversed.
Oh, they're so beautiful, all of them. Oh, those men, those sex objects. What a nice tie. Look at the legs on that one. I'm so turned on. Sorry, you're beautiful too. Look at those pants. They just bring out your best. Keep your best leg forward, sweetie. Oh. Oh, wow. Sweetie, you're old, but I like you. You're beautiful. Oh, I love gray hair. Makes men so sexy, you have no idea.
Hey, how do you like that hat over there?
Oh, what a chapeau.
How about glasses? I like them with glasses.
Oh, you're the strong silent type.
Oh, hey, look at that long hair.
Oh, it's a hippie on Wall Street. Oh, I'm so turned on.
We're trying to point out that what it feels like to be whistled at, put down constantly sexually every time we walk down the street. Like people to understand what it feels like to have someone go all the time and playing at us and they tell us that we're supposed to think that it's a compliment. We're supposed to dig it because we're supposed to dig that we're sexual objects and we don't want to be sexual objects anymore.
What kind of relationship between the sexes do you advocate? Is love out? Is sex out?
She wants to talk.
Unless men change, it's going to be very soon.
But not all women in the movement are agitated over this particular issue. There are many ideological battles being waged among the various factions. A vast outpouring of literature on the woman question has appeared since 1963, when Betty Friedan's book, the feminine mystique, signaled the revival of the feminist movement. More radical voices have been raised since then. The question of who is the enemy gets varied responses, like this one from a member of the feminists.
The purpose of women's liberation, I think, is to liberate women. I mean, I think we see rape as an integral part of a terrorist activity to keep women down.
What about marriage?
Well, marriage is, as I've said, is unpaid labor. I mean, no woman is a free household slave for each man.
Well, we can't take that position because so many of us are married.
Pat Scullin, student.
We don't see many viable options to marriage in the society. And we also feel that marriage meets some important human needs for intimacy and, you know, prevents loneliness and things like that. And there aren't any viable alternatives. So even if we criticize marriage, it's got to be in a constructive way in terms of thinking of new institutions that this society needs and new values people have to have relating to marriage.
The society itself would have to take major collective responsibility for the care and the rearing of children in the same fashion that they take at least a limited collective responsibility for the education of children today.
Mary that Alice is, Waters, editor, The Militant.
There would have to be provision made for 24-hour daycare, child care centers controlled by the people who use them to make sure that women are able to leave the home, that they aren't tied to their children 24 hours a day. The oppression of women, as I mentioned earlier, is so much tied in to class society. It is so, its roots are so deep, and its history is so deep, that it will take a major social revolution for women to be truly liberated.
Strangely enough, you know, I don't think man is the enemy. I think man is a fellow victim.
Betty Friedan, author.
Man is the fellow victim with women of the bind of half equality we're in now. He's as much oppressed by the burdens and the guilts and the hostilities that are bred by the current sexual definitions and the lack of equal responsibility and equal opportunity challenge that each man and woman has to suffer alone in his or her own family, bedroom, and kitchen, but yet must be solved by whole social and political change. Man's not the enemy.
Man may not be the enemy. In fact, man must be an ally if there is to be meaningful change. And one of the vital changes needed is on the job front. Professional women are taking the battle off the streets, away from the campuses, and into Congress and the courts.
I think all of us are aware that some measure of discrimination against women exists at every level of our society.
Members of the academic, professional, and business world met recently in New York to form a professional women's caucus. The basic reason? Only 1% of all working women in the United States earn $10,000 a year or more. The median income for full-time women workers in 1968 was $4,500. For a man, $7,500. Women college graduates typically earn $6,700 a year, and men, $12,000. The women listen to social workers, doctors, professors, and lawyers like Doris Sassauer.
Every woman judge who left the bench in New York State through death or retirement was replaced by a man. This is just one example of a national pattern. In 1950, women lawyers represented 1 in 28 of the total. Now that ratio is down to 1 in 40. More women lawyers than men work in the lower paying, lower ranking positions in government and public agencies like the Legal Aid Society. The longer the attorney is out of law school, the percentage of women in these less remunerative jobs rises as men leave for more attractive positions in general or specialized practice. Our international sisters are 50% of the law students in Denmark, not 7% as in the United States, 36% of the lawyers in Russia, not 3% as in America, 25% of the judges in Poland, not 2% as here. We need immediate remedial action to secure for women not just equality before the law, but equality within it.
Most people assume that women already have full equality under the law. The 1964 Civil Rights Act banned discrimination on the basis of sex, but discrimination does not end by decree alone. 47 years ago, an equal rights amendment to the Constitution was proposed, but never passed. Senator Birch Bayh was chairman of the most recent hearings on the constitutional amendment, and he told me what it would accomplish.
What it would do would be say that everyone is going to be treated the same. It would do the same thing for women as was done for Negroes after the Civil War, when we amended the Constitution and said that no one should have their rights abridged because of race, color, or creed. We would just merely say, or sex.
In what ways are women affected by this lack of protection?
In California, there's a law that requires women to seek special approval before they can go into a business for themselves. Now, men don't, but women have to. In some states, women cannot own property in their own name. If they're married, they have to have their husband own it for them. In Illinois, for example, a man is a is no longer a minor at age 18, but a woman has to wait till she's 21. Well, maturity shows us that probably a girl matures a little more rapidly than a young man. At least they ought to reach the age of majority at the same time and not be discriminated against. There are three states, as I recall it, Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina that I remember, that don't permit women to serve on the juries at all. Now, certainly women are tried for crimes in those states, but their own sex cannot sit on the jury of their peers. These are just a few of the examples. There are a number of examples where women who work are discriminated against. You can have a woman physicist sitting in an adjoining laboratory facility with a man and receive 25 or 30% less pay. Now, this is not right. I think many people can and have wrongly interpreted the women's liberation movement, or whatever you want to call it. None of us who are concerned about this discrimination feel that it's our responsibility to tell a woman what she should do, whether she should work or go to school or raise a family. This is none of our responsibility in government. But I think it is our responsibility in government to give all of our citizens, whether they are male or female, black, white, yellow, or brown, the opportunity to utilize their total talents as they want to use them to the ultimate of their ability.
Oh, sad is the fortune of all womankind. She's always controlled.
The women's liberation movement will not disappear after the singing, marching, and shouting have died down. Man himself may not be the enemy, but his practices are under attack, whether they are motivated by prejudice, profit, or habit. This is a search for equality of opportunity, not the wish to be just like men. It is the desire for more options, for choice, for a shattering of stereotypes, for women to choose more freely the kinds of lives they want to live, and if we choose to work, to be paid in full. The status quo is being challenged by the women's liberation movement. Today, it's still a man's world. And just look at it. Move over, gentlemen. Maybe you can use some help. This is Marlene Sanders.
Hard luck is the fortune of all.